now. It's back to Cooks with Shungu on 702.
It's 22 minutes before 9 o'clock. You are still on your 702 Weekend Breakfast, the long weekend edition of the show with me, Gugs Mhlungu. As always, on a Saturday, we have a look at what's hot and happening that you need to know about in 702 land, in what's happening in 702 land. And coming up in a couple of days, award-winning fashion designer Lukhanyo Mdingi has an art exhibition that's going to be at Constitution Hill from the 4th of April. And to tell us about the exhibition, we are joined by Lukhanyo on the line. Lukhanyo, very good morning to you. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Hi, Gugs. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Lukhanyo. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for joining us. So, The Provenance Part 2 is coming to Conhill from the 4th of April. Tell us about The Provenance Part 2. What is the exhibition about?
Of course, no, it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much again. So essentially, The Provenance Part 2 is an exhibition that focuses on the preservation of archives and research. The intention here was for us to look into the deep lineage of Black consciousness within the context of South Africa and how that has manifested within three different themes that are going to be essentially part of the exhibition. We wanted to focus on literature, we wanted to focus on textiles, and we wanted to focus on music. So over the last 200 years, we found that there's been an immeasurable amount of information and history that forms the foundation of these three different frameworks. And the intention here was to just highlight this and bring awareness to it and to see how it has made a positive contribution to these three respective themes in the contemporary world of today.
You mentioned that one of the, I guess, the core focus of the exhibition is the preservation of archives. So kind of what we have already as documented evidence, what we have to refer to. And why is this so important? When did you realize that this was a thing that A, was needed, and that B, was something that you wanted to be a part of doing?
Of course. So essentially, inherently, I'm a designer more than anything else. And through design, the foundation of what we do is always stemmed through research. But I really wanted to challenge myself and see how it can go beyond the design of clothes and see how other aspects of culture can be researched in a way that can just inform why things are the way that they are today, essentially. So through our findings, and this was done with partnership with Amatola Museum, we found that there is an immeasurable amount of archives that we have on hand, but not a lot of it, there isn't a lot of access to it. So what we wanted to do was to kind of be part of a movement where we can change that a little bit and actually bring more visibility to the spirit of archiving and the importance of it. Because although that it's within these museums and institutions, there's not a lot of access to it and there's not a lot of knowledge to it. And we wanted to change that. We wanted to show and indicate that people can have access to this, and this is what you will find should you be in a position to look for these respective information on these on the three themes that we're essentially going to be showcasing.
Mm. And why the decision on literature, textiles, and music? I guess textiles makes a lot of sense given that you are a designer and that is kind of the core of what you do. But the decision to use these three medium of literature, textiles, and music, why those three and not, you know, sculpture, for instance?
Of course. Well, for literature specifically, it's more of a personal one. During the year of 2020, there is an artist by the name of Ati Patra Huga, and he started an incredible initiative called Victor of the Word, which really highlighted Lovedale Press, which is a printing press that essentially started 200 years ago. And this printing press really focused on Bantu publishing and indigenous languages within the context of South Africa. And that really sparked a lot of inspiration because essentially I became curious about that. And what I found is that this is an institution that my grandmother leaned onto. And that really just like opened up like a can of worms and curiosity for me to see what more is there to this institution that feels like a national treasure, but there isn't enough visibility that is essentially shown onto it and also support. So that really allowed me to really look into it and see if this curiosity can turn into something that is a lot more impactful. So the idea was to see how we could use an opportunity such as an exhibition to just highlight the importance of these national treasures that people might not be privy to, and to also see the notable alumni from our political history and past that actually leaned onto these institutions. And what people may not realize is that even our national anthem that was composed by Enoch Sotongo, he himself actually published the first national anthem of South Africa using Lovedale Press. So it's information like that that is so important that I feel as though not enough people have a lot of insight to.
And so with part two, the exhibition is co-curated by visual artist Banele Khoza. Tell us about that work, that, you know, kind of doing this very big work, but also doing it in collaboration with other creatives.
Of course. Well, collaboration really is at the forefront of what we do within the Lukanyindi brand. So to partner with our contemporaries such as Banele Khoza and as well as The Manor, it makes sense for us from a communications point of view, but also from a lens from a curatorial point of view as well. So much of what we've done within the Lukanyindi brand has always been within the context of fashion design. But because this is something that is overlapping and going into the world of art and archiving, we really wanted to lean onto those that are peers and those that are friends within our community and to collaborate with them and see how they too can add their ingenuity and expertise to make this much more impactful. So it felt like a no-brainer for us to lean onto our friends such as The Manor and as well as Banele Khoza to really create something that is really important.
Mm. So if someone's coming to the exhibition, what are you hoping they take away or learn from being part of the exhibition?
A sweet source of inspiration more than anything else. I think there's such a rich history of our country, and I think just being reintroduced to it in different touch points or a way that you might have not been cognizant of it at all is something that is important, especially during this time. And I just want people to feel inspired and to feel they're walking away with a little bit of extra knowledge of how far South Africa has come, specifically within these frameworks of literature and textiles and music.
At the end of the year, of course, we heard the wonderful news that you'd been named the winner of the 2023 Amiri Prize. And, you know, I'm just curious to know how that has been, you know, what things have looked like since, you know, being named the winner of such a prestigious prize. Of course, you'd previously been a finalist for other very prestigious prizes, including the Louis Vuitton Moët Hennessy Prize. And so what have the last couple of months since the awarding of this prize looked like for you?
I think what's in our arsenal as a business is that we are so grounded to who we are, so we move in accordance to what we know and what we can facilitate. So for us, it's about being very clear with our partners and people such as the Amiri Prize and the committee at large to be clear about this is what we want essentially and this is the pace of our business. For us, we really believe that slow growth leads to the largest life. So it's about really pruning and seeing how we can solidify our foundation as a brand, as a business, as an institution, so we can have longevity. So yeah, it's been really incredible to just partner with people that believe in the bigger picture of the Lukanyindi brand and the institution at large, and to move in accordance to our own pace and to see how we can just have steady, sustainable growth.
I think it's quite insightful that you've mentioned twice now about for you, you know, growing slowly being quite important, growing steadily being quite an important thing. And I'm quite interested about that. Is it because there is, I guess, a pressure to grow a lot faster, especially when you start seeing, you know, your brand has received quite a lot of attention. It's been well regarded. It's been well awarded. Is there a sense of, you know, people wanting you or there's a general pressure to work a lot faster than you currently want to?
I think there's a little bit of a push and pull, but what I've learned over these last couple of years, there's a certain amount of confidence that you need to be grounded within yourself. So what may be slow and steady for me could be fast for somebody else. And my trajectory is completely different from another designer or another artist. So fundamentally, it's about really understanding who you are and moving in accordance to what you can do. I think for me, I love consideration and I pay attention to the projects that we essentially do. And the only way that we can facilitate that is time. And time is essentially needed to do things properly and impactfully. So by doing it fast for us, it feels as though that there might be a lot of loopholes that we might miss. So essentially taking our time and doing things at a steadier pace allows us to just have activations and projects that are done properly and impactfully.
As a South African designer born in South Africa, you start your work here. Your work has now gone global. We've seen you show on some of the biggest stages in the world. When you're thinking about producing, are you producing for the South African consumer, or has your market shifted because now, you know, your market is bigger? You've shown at, for instance, Paris Fashion Week. Has there been a shift in, as you are creating your work, your art, the end user, the person you imagine using it, has that changed in the time you've been doing this?
It definitely has. I think for us, the marriage between business and design is something that we face on a day-to-day basis in the best way. And because the brand has essentially now gone global, where we distribute in different parts of essentially actually every corner of the world, we have to design considerately based on the markets that we're essentially tapping into. And what has highlighted is that during this time and this new chapter of our brand and our business since the win of Omeri, we are now wanting to target our South African audience in a way that we haven't before, in a more impactful and accessible way. So for us, it's about creating offerings that are accessible and just are in accordance to a market that we feel like the South Africans will resonate with the most.
And when you say accessible, do you mean accessible in that if I'm looking for it, I'm able to find it? Because we do know one of the big challenges for particularly creators of art, whether it is, you know, a piece of a painting, a piece of clothing, is how to get it to the consumer.
Exactly.
And also then, and also about price. Also being about, so when you say, you know, ensuring accessibility, what does that look like for you?
It's price, it's distribution, and it's also offerings. So the offerings that we have within the Lekanyendingi catalogue, we don't want it to be contained within one particular kind of person. We really want to think about a variety of different people that could essentially feel part of the Lekanyendingi brand. And having these offerings that are not contained to just one-dimensional, it's not just dresses, it's not just for men, it's not just for women, it's not just one particular kind of style. We really have to be quite considerate about the kind of offerings that we have within the Lekanyendingi brand, extending into home, extending into accessories, extending into jewelry. So someone can really feel as though that they have the opportunity to have a piece of something, but also really considering about how is that distributed, how is that marketed, and how is that priced. So these are all the things that we're thinking about when launching our e-commerce this coming season.
And so the launch of that e-commerce platform, that is also about, you know, how do we connect the brand to the people who are looking for it?
Of course. So this essentially comes down to digital marketing strategy. My team and I have had the opportunity to also engage with different PR teams and also within the context of globally to see how can we penetrate certain spaces within the Northern Hemisphere, but most importantly, how can we penetrate our local South African market. So it really fundamentally comes down to strategy. And once that online store is up, there'll be a lot of visibility around it.
And just in terms of the exhibition, which of course opens on the 4th of April, and you know the three key areas that you focused on, is there in terms of, and I know a big part of it or the core part of it is around archiving. Do we see some of your own work in that exhibition, or is it an exhibition of work that is, I guess, part of the archive that exists already?
It's a hybrid of both, essentially. So the work that you'll be seeing that is done by Lekanyendingi himself is within the context of art, not necessarily in the context of clothing. Mm-hmm. So we will be introducing what I actually will be introducing a different kind of, I'll be introducing myself as an artist more than anything else. So people will have the opportunity to see a different side of Lekhanyam Dengi far beyond the designer, but Lekhanyam Dengi as an artist. So there will be offerings that will be available at the exhibition, mm-hmm. and it's offerings that have been designed and created by me.
And when you say introducing yourself as an artist, as in a different medium outside of fashion
Correct.
And clothes?
It is. It's within the medium of collaging and as well as textile design.
Oh, wow. And has this something you've always, you know, been interested in and been doing, but the focus has been on fashion? Is it a new, I guess, venture or interest for you? How did you get into collaging?
I think it's just been a natural progression. What I mentioned earlier on is that so much of what we do as a designer is researching, and collaging is part of that. Mm-hmm. And I think it's such an important medium, and I think it's something that could be brought into the art world. So this is something that I'm really wanting to introduce, especially because it's something that feels quite personal to me. And it kind of felt like a natural progression and the next step of how do I expand myself far beyond just a clothing designer.
Yeah. And then with the artwork, the, you know, the collaging also then form part of your brand as we know it. So sit side by side with the fashion. Would you, for instance, be able to access it through the e-commerce platform that you will be launching soon?
The artwork will be done in a different way. Because it's art, we're wanting to still have that art experience of having it within a gallery space. So by us having this exhibition, which will be our first time introducing textiles within this capacity, we're wanting to see how the public reacts, and that will essentially determine how we also distribute it.
Some questions here on WhatsApp about how much does the exhibition cost? Is there a cost to see the exhibition?
It's free. It's open to the public.
Do you need to book a ticket in advance? Or?
No. So essentially the opening night is at Constitution Hill on the 4th of April mm-hmm. at 7 p.m. And it's open to public. It's completely free.
And it runs until the 17th of June.
And it runs until the 17th of June based on the working opening hours of Constitution Hill.
Oh, wow. And so what are the times for that exhibition? Is it only in the evenings or does it run during the day as well?
Well, the opening night is on the 4th. And then from the 5th of April, which is the following day, until the 17th of June, it's in accordance to the operating working hours of Constitution Hill, which from my understanding might be from 10 a.m. until 4 or 5 p.m. in the evening, late afternoon.
Great. Lekhanyam, this sounds fantastic. And I'm so happy that it's open to the public and it's free. Thank you so much for making time for us this morning.
No, it's such a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much. That is award-winning fashion designer Lekhanyam Dengi. He is showing Provenance 2, an exhibition that's showing at Constitutional Hill from the 4th of April. It is a free exhibition. I love it when art is made free and accessible to the public. It's running until the 17th of June.